Good morning, church.
Morning.
Couple observations this morning. First off, Marv, you're my hero. And I'm thinking about learning how to play that instrument someday. And then I learned something from the children's sermon that the post office pays attention to addresses. Because based on the mail I'm getting and the mail that I'm not getting, if you work for the post office, I'm just playing. All right? I'm just playing. And God is in New York City. Amen? If there was one thing that I could share with you, that's why I was asked. I would have to clarify that and say, if there was one thing I could share with believers, because if you're not a believer, then you got to get that settled first, right? And then the whole thing would be, you got to know Jesus Christ. But if there were one thing I could share with you, church, as believers, it would have to be, we need more relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, as we read the Apostles' Creed, I'm reminded of Matthew 1:8 that says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph," and by the way, I had to listen to Google tell me how to say betrothed, because I thought it was betrothed. Who knew? Betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge that in the Apostles' Creed, right? We say we acknowledge that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, if you're like me, I think you just kind of run over words, right? You read the scriptures, and that's why sometimes some scriptures jump out at you and you've read them 50 times, and some scriptures you just kind of gloss over. And it occurred to me that we should spend a little time understanding who Jesus' daddy was. It was the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, well, now, God the Father. Yes, God is the Father, but that's God's Holy Spirit. And clearly in Scripture, it tells us Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The one who can do all for us and save us from our sins. The Holy Spirit conceived him. And that kind of put it in perspective for me. I mean, the beginning of time, or let me blow your mind, when there was no time, there was God. And there was Jesus. And there was the Holy Spirit. And then when we get to this point where Jesus is going to have his earthly life, the Holy Spirit is picked to conceive Jesus in Mary's womb. And so all of a sudden you realize that, hey, this Holy Spirit guy has got a pretty integral part in the story. You know, a lot of times I spent raising my kids in the Baptist church, and I love the Baptist church. Strong in the Word. I love it. But sometimes we get messed up and we think it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Bible. But it's not. It's God the Holy Spirit. And then the Trinity kind of messes with us, doesn't it? I mean, we're not three in one, right? It's hard to understand. Three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus had a lot to say about the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, give or take a few times, the Holy Spirit is talked about in the Bible around 183, maybe 185 in some and 182 in others. But the point is, as I figure Scripture talks, teaches, and represents the Holy Spirit 180-something times in Scripture, must be important, huh? Right? Anybody here read the daily Bible verse. Get it on your phones. Get it in the emails. It's okay. You're not in trouble. Well, Pastor Dave Whitehead is a part of that. And he said something interesting. He said, you can be a Bible expert and still not know Jesus. Well, what does that mean? I mean, you mean I can read this thing from cover to cover and still not know our Lord? And Jesus even said in John 5:39-40, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So even Jesus tells us, the scriptures are important and they testify of me, but they don't give us eternal life. Only Jesus can give us eternal life, right? And yet, we can get wrapped up in all our knowledge and all our schooling and all our study and everything else in this, and we can miss that. Because it's all about relationship. And the Holy Spirit wants relationship with us. I've said this before up here. It's a quote from Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God. But I can't really shake it, so I want to say it or quote it again to you. He says, if I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to stop God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. See, if we can be blinded to the Holy Spirit, then we lose power. And I think, and I've been there, I can speak to you from one who's been there. I think one of the most disappointing things to Father God would be a believing Christian who has no power. Because he gave us the Holy Spirit to walk through this earth and to deal with life and things. And life is tough. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to walk in power. If I were Satan and my goal was to stop God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit. Now, let me establish something right off the bat. I don't want any misunderstanding. You ever heard the phrase, let's keep the main thing the main thing? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying about the importance of relationship with the Holy Spirit. It does not supersede relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And although I've got to tell you that in today's culture, that's a pretty bold statement. He's the only way? Can I get an amen? He's the only way. You can throw all the other stuff at me, but I can still come from Scripture and tell you Jesus Christ is the only way to Father God. But what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? You know, often if I am asked, What should I read in the Bible? Where should I go? It doesn't seem to make sense to me. How should I study it? I'll tell folks, get a Bible that has the red letters that Jesus spoke and start reading the red letters. Because I don't know about you, the Bible, the whole Bible is important, but I want to know what Jesus has to say. I want to know what he has to say about about the world we live in and how we should live. And I want to know what he has to say about the Holy Spirit. So in John 14, 16 through 18, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And he's talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us today as well. And what he's telling us is that you will recognize the Holy Spirit because you're a believer. You believe in the Son of God. Then he was telling the disciples, "I've got to go. I'm not going to be with you always." So you could see where the disciples would think we're orphans. And faith helps us understand that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He says, "I've got to go. I've got to go to the right hand of the Father." Actually, the Bible tells us he's interceding for us at this very moment. That's kind of cool, huh? When you don't think you have anybody praying for you, Jesus is praying for you. Isn't that cool? So he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And he says, practically, "I'm going to send you somebody." This is a big deal. "I'm going to send you somebody." If he didn't intend on that being a big deal, why did he say it? And why did he do it? Why is it not just God the Father and God the Son? So there's something to this Holy Spirit that he sends to us that we can rely on. And he says, and he's in agreement with the Father. He says, "I'll pray the Father." And he says, "I'll give you a helper." You ever feel like sometimes you need help? I do. Well, let's be real. Sometimes I don't have all the answers. Do you? And I can ask the Holy Spirit, "Help me understand. Holy Spirit, help me get through this." Somebody says, "What do you mean you pray to the Holy Spirit?" Well, of course, he's God. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But one step further, Jesus sent him to have relationship with us. See, I think I've been missing it, and I think the church has been missing it. Most of the time, preachers will tell you that when they're up here speaking, they're speaking to themselves and to the church. They're not speaking at the church. The same goes for this. I think I've been missing this, and I think there's something to this. If Jesus took the time to send someone to us, and he says he's the Spirit of truth. He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit will only do what Father God does, will only say what he's saying. He's the Spirit of truth. You ever had a friend lie to you? You ever had somebody you really trusted and they let you down? The Holy Spirit won't let you down. When you ask him, and he speaks to you, it's the truth. Now, there's other spirits in the world. And I don't want to get all woo on you, okay? I'm not, because, you know, there's Holy Ghost and people get all worked up about that. But there are other spirits talking and putting ideas and attacking. The way you know that it's the Holy Spirit is you test the scriptures. The other spirits will not speak in truth to the scriptures. They'll always end up opposing what God's word says. The Holy Spirit will always speak in line with God's word. So he's the Spirit of truth. and he dwells in us. And this can be confusing because there's different denominations out there, and we all look at it a little differently. But the bottom line is that when we accept Jesus Christ, Jesus comes into our heart, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes in us, and we have that access to the Holy Spirit. That happens when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then there's some intentional action that has to happen on our part if we want to take it to another level or to another step and walk more in power and more in strength. We have to ask the Holy Spirit for relationship. We have to begin relationship with the one who Jesus clearly said that he sent for us to make it through this world. So we have to be intentional to ask for relationship with the Holy Spirit. What Jesus says in John 14, 26, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Have you ever been visiting with someone and had the prime opportunity to share your faith, and you started locking up? I've been there. Have you ever been somewhere or had a situation where you had the prime opportunity to share your faith, and it was like smooth as butter, and you walked away going, "That was not me." That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring remembrances to you. He will bring what we need to think and say at the proper moment to the person who's in front of us for encouragement or for help. But it takes relationship. If I only speak to a friend of mine once a year, how much can I really depend on that friend or he on me? But if I speak to that friend of mine every day, will we get to know each other better? We will, right? If I talk to the Holy Spirit every day building relationship, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit about the dumbest things, he's probably scratching his head going, "You're an idiot." But it doesn't matter because Jesus sent him for me. And I'm talking to him and I'm relying on him. All of a sudden, he and I have this relationship that can go to another level when all of a sudden I'm in the middle of a prayer time when I've got to pray for somebody. I don't know how to pray, but he does. And he's with me. Cool, huh? Relationship. Relationship. And he'll teach us. This is kind of cool. Jesus says, I kind of hang on words sometimes. But Jesus says in this passage, he'll teach you in all things. He didn't say, I'm going to send you a helper, and he's part of the Trinity, but he can only teach you in a few things. No, he says he'll teach you in all things. What he's trying to say to us is he's the Spirit of truth, and he knows everything. Now, I've had some friends and family who knew everything. Okay? But it's not the same. He really does know everything. And Jesus sent him to us. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, I think the word power, when it comes from Jesus' vocabulary, is a little different than mine. Because it's supernatural. So now he's telling us, you're going to receive power as you build relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it's supernatural power. Now, that could get a little scary, but remember, we're relying on the Spirit of truth, the one who only does what God's doing and only says what God's saying. And we can walk in more power. Have you ever been in this life on empty? you were just done. Anybody? I mean, are you going to admit it? You just went home. I had one of those days last week. I went home and I said, I am done. I don't even know what that means. Because I can't be done. I got to pay for a house and buy food and all that stuff. But I was emotionally done. And we can ask the Holy Spirit, and I did ask the Holy Spirit to refresh us, to bring us out of that stuff. And He's faithful, and He can give us power. Now, I'm not going to dwell on it today, but there's a whole lot more power, that word power, that Jesus intends for us, but not today. John 4:24. One more thing that Jesus said. Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So Jesus feels the need to tell us, to help us understand that the Trinity is spirit. Because the Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is Christ's spirit, and the Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is God's spirit. And so I don't know about you, but if I'm told by the maker of everything that I'm going to send you somebody to help you, and he's my spirit, that maybe we ought to pay more attention to that and maybe step out a little more in relationship. Well, how does relationship look with the Holy Spirit? It looks just like relationship with a friend. It's not confusing. It's almost like I could have had a V8. It's right there. It's right in front of us. It's not way out here. I don't have to go do crazy things. I don't have to do or think or what. There's no testing of it. It's simply He is available to me because Jesus made Him available to me. I have to but step out and start visiting with Him and talking with Him and looking like I'm crazy when I'm driving down the road in the pickup and speaking with Him. But I want more relationship with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says that's who is going to help me get through this world, and He's going to plug me into power. Well, all right, let's see right quick what Paul says about the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26-27. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when we're in a dilemma to pray and we don't know how to pray, we simply ask our friend to pray. And the cool thing is our friend who we're asking to pray knows the hearts and minds of everybody involved. And he knows the will of God. So we can stop trying to potion up. Well, that's a pretty cool phrase. Potion up words to make miracles happen through Jesus, because just the strong name of Jesus will do that. And so all we have to do is rely on Jesus, rely on the Holy Spirit. It's almost too simple, but it's true. We just have to reach out to the Holy Spirit and say, look, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray, but my friend George is in a bind and I need your help, and I give him to you. And I intercede for George. And I thank you that you're going to pray what I can't. He helps us in weakness, and He helps us when we don't know how to pray. Let me ask you one other question, theoretically. If you had a friend, and that friend Now, this wasn't a joke, okay? This was true. That friend knew the past, all the past, since the world began, the present, and your friend knew all about your future. Now, you know, I know that we may have some people that may think that we think they're crazy, right? But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He's a friend who knows the past. He knows who you are, who you've been. Don't get scared. If you've given it to God, it doesn't matter. He knows who you are. He knows your present. But the coolest thing is as I build relationship with him, he knows more than I do about the future. Anybody here know the future? Praise God. He knows the future. Is that someone that you'd want to be best friends with? I think so. Because he knows the future and he knows what's best for us. And then Paul in Romans 5:5. Says this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Have you ever had a friend or a family member that was just hard to love? Are you the friend or family? No, I'm just kidding. We've all run into that. And it doesn't matter how we try to fix it or not fix it, it just gets worse, seems like. And yet Paul tells us that God sent us the Holy Spirit to help us love. And so when Robert begins to lift that friend in prayer to the Holy Spirit and say, you know I don't like him or her, but I love Jesus, and you tell me in Scripture that your Holy Spirit will help me to love him or her. So I give him or her to you, Holy Spirit, and ask you to help me love them. The Holy Spirit helps us supernaturally turn the corner and love people who in our mind aren't lovable. And the crazy thing is, most of the time, he changes my heart, not theirs. He changes my heart, not theirs. But he teaches us how to love. All right, if you don't write anything else down, write this down. The Holy Spirit's fruits are who he is. The Holy Spirit's gifts are what he does. The Holy Spirit's fruits are who he is. In Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The Holy Spirit is love. This is the friend that Jesus has sent us to spend time with and to build relationship. The Holy Spirit is love. He is joy. He is peace. He is long-suffering. He is kindness. He is goodness. He is faithfulness. He is gentleness. And he is self-control. His fruits are who he is. His gifts are what he does. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one individually as he wills. So the Holy Spirit's gifts are what he does. What does he do? He distributes gifts to us. What does he do? He gives us wisdom. He gives us words of knowledge for people. He gives us faith when our faith is running on empty. He gives us the gift of healings, not by our hands or by our words, but through us, because we were faithful to pray for healing. He gives us the working of miracles. He gives us prophecy. He gives us discerning spirits where we can have wisdom as to what we're dealing with. He gives some people other kinds of tongues, and he gives some people other ways to interpret those tongues. But it's all from the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's fruits are who he is. His gifts are what he does. And the Holy Spirit wants relationship with us. And guess what? It's a gift from Jesus because we're believers. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's sending to us. He purposely sending to us to have relationship. We don't have to go it alone in this world anymore. You run it on empty, talk to the Holy Spirit. You feel like you don't have a friend to count on, you've got the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that we will begin to be intentional about having relationship with the one that Jesus Christ sent himself, the Holy Spirit, the precious, powerful, relational, miracle-working, wisdom-teaching Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for us. In the name of Jesus Christ.